good morning, good evening, whatever the case may be, coming to you from Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
It's time for the Geekly Debate. I'm David, doing announcing duties, and with me is...
Taylor.
And Gomer.
You guys went in?
I'm out.
So it's us three?
Four.
You're in? Four? No, they're out.
I guess.
Gary's awesome. The third. Okay.
Yeah,
awesome.
And what's on topic today, Gomer?
Best BBC show of all time.
Almost.
One exception.
We're going to have to exclude Doctor
the
Who.
The best BBC show of all time.
I feel like I certainly would have picked it.
Yeah, dude. It's.
We have to acknowledge that it is the best, but let's make it the best BBC show that's not Doctor Who.
Yes.
I can't say much. I've just started watching Doctor Who.
You're in for a wild ride.
Yeah, you're in for an awesome treat, dude.
Which Doctor are you on?
I'm on David Tennant season 2.
Okay.
Nice.
The
new that's one. A great place to be. I wish I could go back in time and watch the David Tennant Doctor Who for the first time again.
If only you had a TARDIS.
If only I had a TARDIS.
Yeah, well, that's... Anyway, so yeah, Doctor Who would... It's pretty hard to argue against Doctor Who, so we're not going to.
Yes.
All right. But what are you going to pick instead, Gunner?
I am actually going to pick... It's a fairly recent show. I think it premiered in 2010?
Yeah.
It's only had a few seasons.
No earlier than that,
at least. I'm picking Sherlock. It's a timeless story, the timeless tale of Sherlock Holmes, the detective, and his partner.
Smaug and Bilbo.
Yeah, and it's Smaug and Bildo, Bilbo.
They were Sherlock and Watson.
Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman. Just an amazing show. I don't know anyone who can sit through the first 15 minutes of the first episode of that when they're in the car and Sherlock tells Watson exactly how he knew everything that he knew about him and not fall in love with that show. Yep. Especially the way Sherlock acts when he's wrong about the sex of his sibling that he got the phone from. It's just perfect.
Found it very pretentious and hipsterish. Uh-huh. Hated it.
Hated Sherlock.
Yes.
Mark, you're a fool.
Yeah, you're a fool.
My mom loves it. I watch it because of her usual good taste.
Yes.
But I love Freeman. He's great. He's awesome. And I love Cumberbatch, whatever.
Cumberbatch.
Everything else I've seen him in.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere of the show, can they just not sit in a car without the world reflected in the mirrors and the windows all the way around them and the whole thing being just this distracting hodgepodge.
So you have a problem with
it. Seems like a pretty dramatic thing
You have a problem with the cinematography and the editing? Okay.
You have a problem with the ADD of
That's fair, I guess.
It's a very ADD show.
Yeah. It does whip around all over the place from time to time. I'll give you that. But it's a breathtaking modernization of one of the most iconic characters ever presented.
Yeah, the first real detective. I mean, and detectives are everywhere on TV. Everywhere. Every show you look, it's a detective show. Even this new Gotham show that just premiered.
If not the first, but the most influential.
Exactly, yeah.
C. Auguste Dupin from Edgar Allan Poe stories was the first modern.
Of course.
But this was the most iconic one.
But it was a monkey, dude. It was a monkey. That's not a good story.
Read a book, people.
Read a book, people.
Okay.
But I think Sherlock does... The show does a lot of what the movie Sherlock starring
Downey
did. And that sort of makes Sherlock's ability, his great ability, almost like a social disorder.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good approach.
Well, like, the movie, I think, goes too far making it an action movie.
Yes.
Which certainly Sherlock has the capacity to kick some righteous ass when he needs to, but that's not what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely shouldn't be about the action.
And it's kind of, one thing I give it all sorts of credit for, Sherlock, is that it latches on to the core of the character as it was originally presented. People have made, like, plays, movies, various, like, their own stories about Sherlock Holmes. It's kind of made the character a bit, like, softer, easier to swallow.
Yes, yeah.
Sherlock Holmes is an asshole.
Sherlock Holmes you don't want to like him, but he's so good at what he does that you can't help it.
It's a marvel for us to watch as the audience to kind of gawk at it, but he would be insufferable to normal people to hang around.
Yeah, and you get that even from the first episode. A lot of people treat him like he's an insufferable bastion. You're like, man, why are they so mean to him? And then by, you know, the second or third, you're like, okay, that's why they're so douchey to him. He's an asshole. Yeah. But it works. It works so well. And
it's a very realistic approach. If there was a guy who was so smart that he's able to notice all of these things that everybody else misses, of course he's going to be a pretentious, egotistical asshole because you are so beneath him. He's got to keep up with you. He's got to slow down so you can keep up. That would be so frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, love that show. They're playing another season right now, so there's no end in sight.
They always end it with a freaking cliffhanger.
And it's not just a cliffhanger.
That's how to keep
it's just,
in.
Yeah. How does that cliff even hang? They blew up. There should not even be a cliff there left to hang. Yeah, but,
yeah. Car, it blew up. How are they even alive?
Well, yeah,
they
like, do the that? First season ends with, did he just get killed?
You
the
did.
Second season ends, he didn't just get killed. didn't just get killed.
Yeah.
It's a great show, and they take all sorts of the original short stories and they modernize those as well.
Oh yeah,
it's I like wish there was more. Is my thing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that I'm going to argue
then
against.
It's gone.
Yeah,
that's one thing you're going to argue against. You're going to say there's not a lot of sample size.
There's not.
To take from it.
The sample size are quite larger than most other samples. It's 90-minute episodes, but only 3 a season.
Yeah, 9 so far.
Yeah,
each about the size of a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's one of the appeals of the show. It's different in that, you know, way as well.
And that's
why
the BBC does do a lot.
Yeah.
They did that with Luther.
Yeah.
They did that with, Luther is a good show. That's on the short list, but not one I'm going to argue for.
No. But yeah, Ben, I love Sherlock. I didn't watch it at first. Somebody said, oh man, you got to check out this Sherlock. And I'm like, I've seen Sherlock Holmes 1,000 times. Why do I want to see it again? And I'm so glad I saw it again.
Thank God for Netflix.
Oh yeah,
It's the same, but it's different.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to put into words.
It's different in the way BBC makes all of their shows different, I think. There's a certain you know, way BBC makes shows appealing and compelling, and they definitely did this.
It definitely got me into Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
More than I was before.
I mean, I want to reread.
I've read all of them, and it's just that there's treats for you to find if you have read the books, but it's not dense and impenetrable if you haven't.
Yeah, exactly.
Which,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a good sweet spot that they've hit.
Yes, it is. Awesome. Who else has got a pick? Or is there any other beefs with my pick?
Other than the
shortness of
the brevity of it, I couldn't argue for best just because there's not enough of it.
I'll give you that.
But my pick.
What's your pick?
It's been on the air for years and years. I'm going to actually go with Top Gear.
Oh, man.
Ooh, nice.
And I'm saying this as someone who is not a big car enthusiast.
Yeah.
Top Gear is hilarious.
It is. It's a great show. I'm actually a big car guy. My favorite video games are like Forza and those things. I like driving.
I'm
like
not
cars.
Against cars. I'm not a big motorhead.
I love cars. If I had a lot of money, I'd have a lot of cars.
But they don't present the motorhead in the way that you would see like on Power Block.
Go ahead, Taylor.
It's quirky British humor at its finest.
Yeah.
It's not. It's.
It is quite difficult to explain.
It is. These guys have these like great personalities that complement each other in such a way, and the way it's shot, the way the jokes are set up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an entertaining show despite it being a show about cars.
Like, even if I'm not a big car guy, I still enjoy the hell out of watching them drive these beat up old cars across Africa or across the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah.
Or I love watching them blow crap up. Challenge to make their cars amphibious and drive them across a canal, and then like for the follow up that drive it across the freaking English Channel.
Yeah,
it's a thrill to watch for even someone who, like myself, who is not big into cars, and people who are big into cars, it's good for them too.
I think this is another thing that BBC does well. They're able to find people who are passionate about certain things. And they're so passionate that they can communicate their passion in a way where even if you're not a big fan of the topic, you can still enjoy their passion. And
because who doesn't like James May?
Who doesn't? Yeah, exactly. And everybody drives. You know, everyone knows what a car is. So there is that foundation.
Yeah, even if you're only... Everyone deals with cars in one shape or another. Even if you bike to work, you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, you're stopping for other cars, hopefully.
And they pick up on stuff
we're getting
stuff
hit
like,
by them.
Even if you're just like your only experience with the cars is commuting, there's something in there for you because they do talk about stuff like instead of just like how fast can it go, like how comfortable is it?
Yeah, definitely.
Price rent, like is it do you get bang for your buck? Yeah. They consider a lot of things that even the most casual observer can quite enjoy quite a bit, get a lot of use out of as well.
The one thing I would say against it, it's a little maybe too much reality show for me, personally. But the way they do the production, and which is a lot different than your standard American reality TV show, it does really, you know, help that out a whole lot, that negative aspect of it. But yeah, it can seem a little bit preachy as far as that goes.
And just to kind of illustrate my point, how it's about these personalities, about the way they present it, the American version of Top Gear is the worst piece of crap I've ever seen.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's the cars, and it's still them doing stuff. They buy in, like, the Stig, and they do, like, celebrity laps and stuff. But it's just, it's not
the same.
Makes the show great.
Yeah.
It's lost in translation.
It's like, what if Americans did Doctor Who? It would be bad. It would be bad.
That should never be a joke.
Yeah. It would be bad.
It will eventually.
It was bad.
It was bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never saw that.
That was like the Eighth Doctor.
Yeah. So, I understand the appeal of Top Gear. Not one of my favorites, but I've definitely sat through more than one episode when I really should have just hit the next on the controller. But yeah, I stopped and was like, what is this? And it was great. And yeah. Awesome show. It's hard to argue against that.
No, it's really hard
to argue against a lot of these BBC shows, just because if it's done so well in a foreign country to be able to do well here, then yeah, it's got to have so much of a mass appeal that it'll be successful. Is there another one? Or is there any beef with Top Gear?
I got one.
You don't have a beef with Top Gear?
I don't have a beef.
It's hard to have a beef.
But I've got a pick.
What is it?
It hasn't been on the air in a very long time, and there was only two seasons of it.
Mm-mm-mm.
Spaced.
Oh, okay.
It had a cult following in the States big enough
to
bring it to DVD in the States. You couldn't find this thing on DVD unless it was a bootleg.
Yeah.
And this was very early Simon Pegg, Nick Frost.
Yes. Edgar Wright.
It was their very first team-ups. And you can see kind of how they were doing this, because if you were a 90s kid, or you grew up in the 80s, you grew up in the 80s, you grew up in the 90s, you got the sense of humor.
Yeah.
It's just a great show.
This is actually
show.
99, 2001 it went. Yeah.
But it's a great show. And there's a lot of pop cultural references in there. There's a whole episode where they kind of do a Star Wars type deal.
Oh, neat.
To rescue a dog from a dog pound.
Yeah, I can definitely say I've heard of this, but I have never seen an episode. Mm.
My best friend, the imaginary guy that came in and sat with us on one podcast one day, I showed him this, and like he immediately tracked down his own copy.
Oh wow!
When I went to visit him, I took him this because I
figured
he would get it.
I'm gonna have to find that.
And
me too.
He immediately after I left, he immediately tracked down his own copies of this show.
Nice,
because it's that good.
Awesome. Like I said, I've never seen it. What's the premise, the basic premise of the show?
Basically, Simon Pegg, and I forget the female's lead, but she showed up in Shaun of the Dead. She was the girl with the other group of people that was just like them.
Oh, okay, Very cool. All right.
They were strangers that agreed to pose as a married couple to get cheap rent. So they
awesome.
They
that old story.
That old story. I still remember that Three's Company.
Yeah, they were they posed as a married couple and actually ended up not in the show, but there's like a follow up where they get married and have a kid, a daughter named Leia.
Oh wow!
And they're big Star Wars fans.
Yeah. So it's just them living the life and hanging out, sitcom, situation, comedy. That's the situation.
It's like they're posing as a married couple, but he's seeing other women.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Is there a Mr. Roper sort of character?
There's a
Mr. I'm sorry to be making all these.
There's a very Miss Roper. There's a starving artist, a wannabe actress. But like the Mr. Roper is a lady, and she's always smoking cigarettes. She's like, "Oh, Brian." It's great.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people in this show would go on to do other things.
Yeah.
Well, obviously,
Frost and Pegg.
But
Nick Frost was like a military reservist in the UK. But he manages to steal a tank, and they do like a whole say anything montage with a tank. How is this part of the regulation? I've got the rank. You do what I tell you.
Man, that's awesome, man. I'm going to have to check that out. I'll be honest, I had heard of it, but yeah, I've never sat down and watched an episode.
I've heard great things about it, but it's a bit obscure. I've never seen it myself.
Yeah, I don't think it's available for streaming anywhere either.
See, that's the trick he pulled, is we can't really talk
about it.
We can't
check. We can't double check him and talk smack on his choice.
I told you it was difficult to find. But if you, but it's available for on DVD if you know where to look.
Well played,
it's for purchase
David,
now.
Well played.
Because the reason why it didn't come out on DVD in the States is because the Star Wars episode used music from Star Wars, and in the UK you can do stuff like that, but here in the States you have to get
permission. Yeah.
So that's why it didn't come.
Tyranny of the copyright.
Yeah. Tyranny of George Lucas. Ah. Cool. You got a pick, man? This BBC show.
I haven't really watched too much BBC, but
that's okay.
I do like the Big Brother over there.
Oh, okay.
That's really more entertaining than ours is.
It
not
is.
Saying ours isn't,
yeah.
But they get way into it.
Yeah.
Like, they have to battle to eat.
Yeah.
And they have to do all kinds of crazy stuff that we're not even allowed to do over here.
Big Brother, if you've never seen that, it's a show where they take a group of strangers, 13, 14, 15, perfect strangers, don't know each other, and they throw them in a house for the entire summer. And this is why it's a cool game show to me, reality show to me, is because they have no internet, no TV, no radio, no newspaper, no entertainment, no nothing.
They know nothing about the outside world.
Nothing. No book. You can bring a Bible. You can bring a religious text, but that's a little different.
You get to know nothing of the outside world.
Yeah.
While you're in.
So, you could take me and 14 of my closest friends and put us in a house without TV, cable, and it would be hell. We would be killing each other. So they do it with...
I would watch that.
Oh, dude, I would watch that too, yeah. But, yeah, so it's a cool game reality show. I say game show. It really is a game show. You know, the best reality TV are game shows. The Amazing Race, Survivor. They're basically, you know, long game shows. Season-long game shows. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Big Brother. I've been a fan of Big Brother since the second season in America. I have seen the European version, and yes.
They bring in celebrities.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore.
Mini-Me's been in there.
Yeah. Hmm. So it's very good. We'll talk about some other BBC game shows along with our you know, follow-up with some other stuff. One versus 100.
Have everyone seen that? That started in BBC.
There's a live version of that that I participated in.
Yes.
I was one of the 100.
Yeah. Very cool show.
Did you win?
No. I got like in the top 75%.
No, we'd have heard about it if he had won. Monty Python.
I like Monty Python, but I feel the show is more a little dated.
Yeah.
Dated?
Well, the movies are still quite funny. And
yes.
Because they don't set into an era. They're period pieces. Like, you know, you got your...
Holy Grail.
Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Holy Grail, and you got your Life of Brian.
Yeah.
But... The TV show, I feel, is...
It was the Saturday Night Live of
its time.
Of
Monty
its
Python
time.
Deserves all the credit in the world for its influence. And it's the good stuff holds up pretty well, but I think Family Guy actually said this best.
Yes.
About how one of the cruelest things you can do to someone is force them to watch the 80% of Monty Python that wasn't funny, remember?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I just feel it's dated. I mean,
It does.
It does feel dated.
I think
even if you don't live in the UK, you probably don't get some of these references.
There's definitely, you know, the social differences because you're not going to get a lot of the references. Yeah. But because
it
was...
Things like Spanish Inquisition.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Lumberjack and I'm okay.
Yeah. Those will hold up. Yeah. But it's like a Bicycle Repairman.
Yeah.
No.
Doesn't hold up.
But actually...
Look at the speed!
Actually, one of the shows I like better along that same ilk is actually Blackadder.
Ooh.
Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah.
I feel like it actually does hold up a bit better than Monty Python.
Because Blackadder is the one where it's set like in medieval times, right?
Well, they switch around. There's like they do skits from like World War One. They do skits from like medieval time. So yeah, I guess there's the whole... They don't have... It's not like you said, tethered to the era. Like
Yeah. The thing about Monty Python is because it was every week and because they were dealing with skits, it was timely. They wanted to pull things out of current events, out of the headlines.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, like, how...
And that's how Saturday Night Live
was. If I was to watch some Saturday Night Live from,
watching
like,
Gerald Ford.
80s,
yeah. Unless it's Chevy Chase falling off something, of course. You're not going to understand any
or
of that.
Or Dan Aykroyd doing King Tut's still fun.
No, you're right. But that has nothing to do with what was going on in the 70s or 80s.
Dan Aykroyd doing Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
I was born in a house my father built.
Yeah.
We're getting a little off topic.
Yeah. The Office.
Good show.
Good show. I prefer the American version.
That can almost be its own debate, is which is the best BBC adaptation that was made in the States. But yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was like Life on Mars.
Yeah. Wasn't Third Rock from the Sun originally a BBC thing?
Was it?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Oh my gosh.
I don't sure.
If so, I haven't seen
that. Yeah. This is news to me.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just full of shit, Gilbert.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right.
Any other honorable mentions of sorts?
I want to mention one. It's a fairly recent show called In the Flesh.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about that. Awesome show. It wasn't even really a show. It was more like a mini series, wasn't it?
It was like 6 episodes.
Okay.
But basically, people rise from the grave. The recently deceased rise from the grave like a zombie apocalypse. And the government figures out a way to stop the zombie apocalypse by turning these dead people back into semi-normal people.
Yeah.
And it's basically...
It's the aftermath. People dealing with what they did while they were zombies.
Yeah. Trying to integrate back into society.
Oh, it was creepy.
There's a second season out, and I think I've only seen like bits and pieces of it. I'd like to see the full second season.
Yeah. I've only heard about the 1 6-episode first season, which I thought they were just doing a miniseries.
There's a second season. From what I've seen, basically... More people are getting a hold of that drug.
Oh, okay.
Because what I saw was these people on a subway car, there were 4 of them, and they ingested the drug, and they reverted back.
Yeah.
But that was the kickoff of the second season.
That was the kickoff of the second
Larry's
season.
Here to
Yeah, Larry's here to chime in.
I love that show, In the Flesh.
Yeah.
The first season is 3 episodes, second season, 6. Great take.
Yeah.
And it starts out, the main character has just been reintegrated into society. You know, the first wave.
Well, the first scene is them sitting around a table eating.
Right.
And getting into... And it was just so awkward, you know. It's a great show.
Definitely a fresh take on this.
Larry, do you have a favorite BBC show?
Oh, the end of Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah, when they're all like
in
on
the
TV.
Flesh,
yeah.
Probably it.
Yeah. Awesome.
I mean, that does sound like it's along the same lines as this in the Flesh show.
Yeah. That just seems like that could hold its own thing. Just... He's still my husband.
Yeah. And then he's just playing Xbox or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
House of Cards is originally a BBC show.
I don't think that's right.
No, it is. 1990. House of Cards. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
I guess that's
quite a long
gap.
Original,
it's a huge
it's not
gap, yeah. That but was, if you look at politics...
Okay, so I was like 1 year old then, so I don't feel that bad about not knowing that. One other thing I mentioned earlier was Luther.
Yes.
It's a good hard-boiled crop drama.
Yes, it is, man.
Idris Elba.
He's great in everything.
Yeah, well, that's where he arrived, really, was doing that show. And now his career is taking off because of it.
Oh, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Love that guy. Any other mentions of anything from...
Gordon Ramsay's the F-word.
I'm not a big fan of anything he does besides The Nightmare Show and The Hell's Kitchen in America. F-Word is okay. Like I said, it felt too reality show.
Well, the thing about his kitchen nightmares and Hell's Kitchen and all that is this is a lot different because he's not yelling at people.
Yeah. I think that's his main appeal, though. That's the most appealing part of Gordon Ramsay when he calls people bad names.
It's made its own memes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This plate has so much oil the U.S. wants to invade.
Yeah.
But this chicken is so undercooked, a skilled veterinarian can still save it.
I do like his other shows,
but the F word, if it's on, I will stop and watch the F word.
Good show.
Torchwood, any love for Torchwood? Doctor Who spinoff?
You can't really watch it and be like, hey, this is Doctor Who Light.
Exactly. Yeah. I make the same argument. There's no one who's ever watched
Torchwood. It's not a bad show.
Yeah, I'm not talking smack on it, but there's no one who ever watched Torchwood
I would almost
and said, oh, this Torchwood show looks great, let me watch it. No. They watch it because they watch Doctor Who.
I couldn't possibly ever pick... The ostensive purpose of this is to say the best. I would never say Torchwood over Doctor Who.
Yeah, exactly. Merlin. Any love for Merlin?
Merlin ended crappily.
Very crappily.
I mean, I know
it was a great run.
I know that they were keeping up with the actual Arthurian legend, but just
from the Arthurian legend's boring
from the audience perspective. Okay, spoiler alert.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Merlin, you should.
They spend all this time going on this journey of like, and then nothing becomes of anything because he just dies, and Merlin ends up having to like be his corpse babysitter for 500,000 years.
What?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Definitely fit in with the whole
it just
Arthurian legend that is Merlin, but yeah, doesn't work for TV very well.
It never went anywhere. They like at the last minute, like they like zink and just pulled everything out from under their feet.
Nobody's gonna want to watch the stuff that was actually there. Like if we did Thor and Marvel the way that Thor actually was.
Oh,
that's
definitely
a good point. I mean, sometimes you do have to.
People would be bored.
Sometimes these adaptations have to kind of take some liberties just for the sake of being a compelling story.
Yeah. And I'm okay with them doing that, but they should have definitely done that with Merlin.
Okay, if they're going to end it the same way the actual legends and mythology end, the tone of the show is completely inappropriate.
Yes,
then.
Exactly. Yes.
It was like,
did you watch Merlin?
No, I have not.
You should
it was mostly like lighthearted, campy fare. Like,
yeah.
But then like grimdark, grimdark at the very end.
Well, speaking of lighthearted, campy fare, Steve, before he left, he said Benny Hill.
Yeah, he's mentioned Benny Hill.
It's got a charm to it.
Benny Hill has a charm to it. The way your weird, awkward uncle who comes over only for Thanksgiving has a weird, unique charm to him. Mm-hmm. My dad was a huge fan of Benny Hill back in the day, and I thought it was quite inappropriate for him to be watching it with me when I was that young. But, I mean, maybe that's where I get my, you know, witty sense of humor.
So but we can blame Benny
Blame Benny Hill.
For the train wreck that is
That is me, yeah. But yeah, I'm a fan of Benny Hill. It's hard to go back and watch those.
Yeah,
they do not hold up.
It's like the Monty Python.
It feels like a Lawrence Welk almost. You know, like a... No, it does. It feels like a hard-edge, crappy comedy.
That's a good analogy.
Lawrence Welk. Yeah, so yeah, it doesn't keep up. But Benny Hill, you cannot have a talk about BBC without Benny Hill. And we talked about Mr. Bean, right? Rowan Atkinson, we mentioned him.
We mentioned Rowan Atkinson because of Blackadder.
Yeah. Has there been a Mr. Bean BBC series? I don't think so. And if there isn't, why not?
Well, maybe we should. I feel like we're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
We're
about to start talking about
shows that we wish the BBC
had
done.
We're about to start talking about Mr. Bill and Postman Pat.
Right. Awesome.
Well, I'm going to have to cut out here.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up. It was a good cast. I like the BBC. The BBC to me represents different. You know, every American show has a certain tone to it, and you can definitely see that. There isn't a lot of different American TV when you boil them down. NCIS, CSI, every cop drama is pretty much the same damn cop drama.
I don't want to throw all of American TV.
Oh, no. I would never do that.
Yeah, there's
a majority of shows are cookie cutter.
At least from a network to network basis, yes, they have their house tone.
Yeah, now when you get to AMC and especially HBO, yeah, there's a lot of different stuff going on there. But I think the BBC does different on free TV for people in the United Kingdom. And good for them for bringing it to us and letting us enjoy it too. Doctor Who's got everything.
Yeah, Doctor Who's got everything.
I mean, this is, awesome. Good cast. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you guys have anything you want us to debate about, please let us know in the comments or some other way. Please rate and like us on Facebook and share the cast with your friends. As always, thanks to Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee. That's our local comic shop. Our favorite comic shop in the whole wide world. We couldn't do anything without the stuff that they let us do. For everything that we do, comic book reviews, another podcast, all sorts of articles, Dungeons & Dragons articles this week, Comic-Con coverage later this week, check out OutrightGeekery.com. That is our home away from home where everything we do is thrown up on the internet for the world to devour. But cool, that's it for this week's Geekly Debate, and check us out next week.
Join us next week! Same geek time! Same geek channel!
British!